I kind of mentioned to you last week that there are some phrases that you probably have heard for many, many years and didn't understand that they were from the Bible. You probably never knew that they actually came from there. That was where their origin was. And I kind of told you, I said, you know, there's some things like if you know something's going to happen and there's no doubt about it, we use the phrase, the handwriting's on the wall. Well, that's from the Bible. That comes from Daniel 5. Also, if there's something that's going wrong in your life and, you know, something's happening, you say, man, there's a fly in the ointment. And that's from Ecclesiastes 10:1. We all have used the phrase before when you're dealing with somebody that just doesn't seem to change no matter how much you want them to, and you get frustrated and you say, man, a leopard just can't change its spots. That's also from the Bible, and that comes from Jeremiah 13:23. The other one, eat, drink, and be merry. We use that all the time, right? We say it in good ways. Eat, drink, and be merry. And that's from Luke 12:19 and also 1 Corinthians 15:32. Rise and shine. How many of you guys have said that to your kids when they wake up in the morning? Rise and shine. That's Isaiah 61. So those phrases that we hear all the time throughout our lifetime, we hear them growing up. We don't necessarily always know that they come from the Bible. How about this one? Cleanliness is next to godliness. How about God helps those who help themselves? They're not in the Bible, guys. It was a trick question. I'm just trying to fool you. They're actually not in the Bible. People always say that they are, but they're not in the Bible. Although, I do believe that you could probably stretch that our cleanliness is next to godliness, because obviously the cleaner we are in our hearts, the closer we are to God, right? So we could probably stretch that a little bit if we wanted to. But the one I actually want to talk to you about today is a little birdie told me. And you might not have never known that that actually comes from the Bible also. That actually comes from Ecclesiastes 10:20, which says, never make light of the king even in your thoughts, and don't make fun of the powerful even in your own bedroom, for a little bird might deliver your message and tell them what you said. So we might not have realized that. I mentioned last week that this is obviously where we get the idea of Twitter, right? You tweet out your thoughts, you tweet out your opinions, we tweet. A little birdie told me. But, you know, we use this phrase, a little birdie told me, but we don't necessarily always know that things come from the Bibles. But it's pretty cool because Solomon, who was actually the wisest man of all time, the wisest of all, God says he's the wisest that will ever walk this earth. So you guys out there that are just really striving for more and more education because you're going to be so, so smart, I want you to know you might as well give it up because there's already one who's the wisest. But he actually says the wisest person of all time, he says that a person who wants to be wise should never criticize someone, even in their own bedroom. That we should actually be mindful of the things that we say, but also the things that we think about others. And he makes the point, he says, because a little birdie might fly off and tell the king. So, you know, we look at that and we think, well, that's just foolishness, right? And that's foolish. I mean, we obviously know birds do not talk. Yes, they do, right? Parakeets, parrots, and Big Bird all talk. So we know that this is not true, that there's things actually do exist. But I kind of have the idea in my mind, and I totally believe that if God can create something, that I totally believe that God has the right and the way to communicate with them. I think like he does with us. We have a mind. I believe the birds probably can communicate and probably do talk to God. Now, you have to wonder here about our words. You know, Solomon says that they're so important. Our words are so important. And like I said, last week's message was about the idea that, you know, what we put out there, the negativity, a lot of times we really kind of just pave a way for more negativity in our lives. And it's not necessarily the you know, claim it and say it, you know, kind of thing that you're going to get it. But there really is something to say about the idea of what we put out, if it's negative or positive, if we're always speaking like, you know, oppression and depression upon ourselves, that we don't really have that opportunity to come alive and feel light, you know. But Solomon says our words are so important, and they have such great significance. And it also says that it actually can cause very dire circumstances in our lives if we don't get our words straight. Now, I told you at the beginning of this message that I really do totally believe that there's things that God wants to teach each one of us. And I believe that there's reasons why that God has me teach this. Because sometimes I can be a very negative person. I can say negative things. You know, sometimes, you know, it's that, you know, glass half full or glass half empty kind of thing. I'm just like, I don't know. It's empty. It's just, I don't know what I'm going to do. You know, I live in that life sometimes. And It's not so good. But you got to change it. But you know, we know that we live in a society today where, man, anybody says anything. No one seems to care what they put out there. They don't care who hears us. We don't care what we say, if it's coarse, if it's negative. We just throw out our words. We speak loudly, as if everyone would want to hear what we're saying. And I've done youth ministry for 14 years, and I can tell you that's one of the things I will teach your children when they come into my group, is I don't care how brilliant of a conversationalist you are, if you are telling the most wonderful of jokes, if you are just on, man, I want you to know when you get into a restaurant, no one wants to hear you. No one wants to hear what you're saying. They're there to enjoy their dinner. So I tell them all when they go with me, shh, no talking like that. You don't talk like that. You lower your volume, and you be respectful to others is what we're supposed to do. Our society also doesn't care a bit about what little kids hear around us. You know, it doesn't take much. You can go anywhere anymore, and you can hear the word F this, F that, and they just throw it all out there. And no one seems to care that little ears are hearing. Little ears that are going to parrot us and are going to repeat those things. And we might think, you know, it doesn't really matter. But God says that if we're followers of His, that it does matter. It really does matter. The words that we say matter to God. And if we don't take it seriously, we have to understand that those little birds, they could be taking those little careless words, those little things that we say, and they could be running off, flying off, and taking them to the King, our God, right? So it's a whole different way of looking at it. And I didn't even realize until I started thinking about this message that I really have a love of little birds. I never even realized. I'm not a person that decorates with a lot of scripture. You know, there's a lot of times you go into someone's house and there's scripture, and that's wonderful. I've never been that, but you know what I never realized until I started teaching and preparing for this message? That I have a lot of little birds around me. I definitely surround myself with little birds. There's pictures of little birds, and I love little birds. And I realize that's like, where did that come from? Well, maybe it's because I was always supposed to teach this message. It's a reminder to me because sometimes my words aren't so wonderful that I need to have more little birds paying attention to my words. In our culture today, when we use that statement, a little birdie told me, we kind of say in a cute way, right? Well, a little birdie told me, because you don't want to reveal your sources of who told you something. So you kind of say it in a cute way of kind of like not revealing who it is. And you know, we can use that same phrase, though, when you get involved in something else that we're not supposed to do, and that's gossip. And that's actually what I want to talk to you about today. I want to talk to you a little bit more about gossip, because we might think that that's not a big deal, that gossip's not that big. But God differs with that. God actually has an opinion on it that actually differs from what we would think about gossip. Our culture has definitely diminished gossip. It's just a way of life, right? We all seem to gossip about each other, about celebrities. I mean, all you have to do is go to a checkout line in any grocery aisle, and you'll see that every single magazine there is basically gossip about what celebrity is doing, or who's dating who, or whether or not this person is going bankrupt, or all these different things that are out there. We also know that TMZ, man, they just make a living out of it. They sell it to us as entertainment every single night. We can sit down and we can listen to TMZ tell us about gossip. It also exists in every single break room in most every single workplace is gossip. Every single factory, every single school, and churches too. Gossip exists everywhere. It's all around us. We know it. We see it. We hear it. We take part in it. A good definition of gossip is second or third-hand information that someone shares with you or you share with others without the consent of the person being talked about. Without the consent. We have to remember that. Do we want people talking about us without our consent? But we do it really easily for others. Gossip can be true, it can be partially true, or it could be completely false, and it doesn't seem to matter most of the time to us. If it's true, not true, partially true, doesn't matter. We just like to say it. It can be motivated by good intentions. We might have a good intention when we say it to somebody. We might say, tell them something that's happened, and we don't really wish evil to befall them. We just are sharing some information that was passed along. But many times, though, it does contain a little bit of negative information about another person that might put them in a bad light in your eyes. Gossip is really tough to take, and it hurts. It hurts us. It hurts us so much. Like I said today, I don't think a lot of us think that gossip is that bad, but God actually does. He says it is a bad thing that we take part in. And it actually says in Romans 1:28-29, it says, since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God. Now I want you to know right now, if you don't acknowledge God that God's real, he's calling you foolish. You're foolish. Since they thought it foolish to acknowledge God, he abandoned them to their foolish thinking and let them do things that should never be done. Their lives became full of every kind of wickedness, sin, greed, hate, envy, murder, quarreling, deception, malicious behavior, and gossip. Now we're like, whoa, gossip? You put that alongside with murder? Gossip? Is it that big of a deal? God says it is, because you know what we're doing? We're killing people with our words. We're cutting them down. We're breaking their hearts. We're actually doing damage to their souls, to their hearts, their minds. Matthew 12:35-37 says, a good person produces good things from a treasury of a good heart, and an evil person produces evil things from the treasury of an evil heart. And I tell you this, you must give an account on Judgment Day for every idle word you speak. The words you say will either acquit you or condemn you. We talked about that last week, the idea of idle words. Idle words are when you're not going anywhere real fast, right? You're just kind of sitting there, just waiting. When you idle in your car, you're just sitting there. It's running. You have the power to accelerate, but you're not going anywhere. A lot of times this is when we gossip, right? When you're idle. When someone's sitting next to you that's idle. You know, it's when you're out chilling with your friends, just hanging, doing nothing. That's when you're idle. When you're out having coffee. You go out for coffee. You're like, let's meet for coffee. You drink your coffee, and you share idle words. How about when you go and have a cold one with your buddies? Also, when you're idle. Now, I say that because I can tell you right now that a lot of guys think it's just women that gossip. I can tell you over my lifetime, I have met many, many men that are terrible gossips. It's not just women. All people have a struggle with gossip. Young people, if you're out and you're having a sleepover with your friends, usually what happens is you find that there's two or three get together and you pick out the one person from school that really just you don't like. And you start gossiping about them. Start saying negative things about them. That sleepover becomes more about a gossip party instead. Guys, when you're in a locker room, a lot of times when you share gossip, you know, guys are really good with saying, you know, hey, her, yeah. Yep, me and her, you know, gossip. And we destroy people's reputations when we're in idle situations. You know, it's really kind of comical when you think about it, because when we raise kids, we have two things that we normally always tell them as they're growing up. We tell them, if you don't have anything nice to say, don't say anything, right? And the other one we always tell kids, don't be a tattletale. Don't be a tattletale. Yet what we do is we combine the two as we get to become more and more adult, and we simply call it conversation instead. Idle words. We're tattling on somebody, saying negative things. You're combining two of those things, and it's actually so wrong. If we would just think about what our parents told us sometimes and go back and relive that. President Teddy Roosevelt's daughter, Alice Roosevelt Longworth, was quoted as having said, if you haven't anything nice to say, then come sit right down next to me. That's what she liked. You know, we laugh at that because it sounds humorous, but actually God would not laugh at that. He'd say, that's horrible. It's horrible that we would want to feed off of other people's inadequacies and hurts and pains and struggles. Proverbs 18:7-8 says, the mouths of fools are their ruin. They trap themselves with their lips. Rumors are dainty morsels that sink deep into one's heart. Dainty morsels. I'm going to tell you, there's something about us, I don't know what it is, but we love to hear something that we didn't know. don't we? I can tell you that I struggle too. Someone tells me, I'm like, wait, really? Really? And how many of us say that, well, what more do you know? What else did you hear? We, for some reason, just keep wanting to just gorge on these dainty morsels that are doled out. I admit that I have gossiped way more in my life than I ever should have. And I have listened to gossip way more than I ever should have. There's something about us that we're so guilty of this. And we like to think that it's not that big of a deal. But it is. God says it is. I think if we would start to think about like how much we're sharing, are we sharing a little too much sometimes with others? I think at that moment we don't really think about how hurtful it could be to another person, or really how the damage it could cause them, their relationships, their family struggles, more pain, more problems, more people turning their backs on them instead of showing them love and compassion. I think if we think that way, we wouldn't want to like participate in eating those dainty morsels quite so quickly and enjoy it as much. Now maybe some of you out there are thinking right now, it's no big deal. I mean, really serious. Like God puts gossip with murder? God looks at sin and he considers it sin. And that's the thing. But if you might think, well, it's no big deal. I don't care if people know I'm a gossip, and I don't care who hears me when I gossip. Really? Then why is it that you whisper? If you don't want people, you want people to hear, then why are you whispering? Why do you whisper when you gossip? It's because you don't want people to know that you're sharing information. You don't want people to know it was you that passed along information. You know, I think a lot of times we start to whisper and say things. We know what we're saying is not good. When we have to lower our voices and we have to murmur, instead of speaking up, we know we're not speaking loud and proud. We know people would be hurt if they heard what we were saying. It's a negative comment, something. I think that should be a big clue to us that what we're saying probably shouldn't be said. I think if you have to lower the volume on your voice to say something to someone, then maybe instead what we should be doing is we should be hitting mute instead, right? If we have to keep turning down, let's just hit mute and not share the negative thing. We know that our words, man, they have power to hurt, to slay. We know we've said too much sometimes. And we know that once those words are out, you can't go grab them in the air and shove them back in your mouth. No matter how much you wish you could, you can't do it. Once they're out, they're out. They're out there. They're floating around. It's dangerous. You know when you've said too much. You feel it. I know when I've said too much, and I felt it. And you know what happens? You know what you do? You do damage control. You know when you've shared too much about somebody, what you do is you run back to the person that you talk to and you say, listen, please don't share this with anyone else. Don't share it, please. Because you know that you were wrong, and you should not have shared it. So you try to stop it. Because you know that it's going to destroy others, but then you know it also has the possibility to do? Destroy you. Destroy your reputation. See, it was fine when we were talking about people and no one would know, but when it all of a sudden comes back on us, and it could come back to us that somebody thinks that we're a gossip, we really want to go hurry up, put out the fires, don't we? I kind of look at it as this way. You're sitting there with your friends, and gossip is like this beautifully painted hand grenade that just sits alongside of you. Just sitting there, and it's so beautiful. It's just conversation. Until it blows up. And it's going to blow up. And it's going to hurt. Because you're going to say too much, and someone's going to come back and say something to you. Why did you say what you said about me? And maybe they'll never confront you. Maybe you'll be lucky. But they're always in the back of their minds going to say, I can't trust that person because they talk bad about me. I had a situation where I, years later after something happened in my life, I had some situation where I went in and I was talking to this person. And they actually made this horrible dispersion on my character that honestly, I was so naive because I didn't think they were that mean. I totally went home. It took me about 2 days to really grasp what they said, and I thought, wow, they literally accused me of sleeping with somebody. I did not realize that. I was so lost that I didn't even get it. And then I was thinking to myself, you know how many times I wanted to go back to that person and say, boy, that was an evil thing what you said. But you know what? They heard something from somebody. They heard something from another person. They heard something from another person. This is why I say all of it is like a big old forest fire of talk that people love to share information that's so hurtful and so rude. Proverbs 16:28 says, a troublemaker plants seeds of strife. Gossip separates the best of friends. Isn't it true? You gossip about your best friend. Somebody says something about somebody else and it goes back and then they're like, your friendship's ruined. It's destroyed. I know gossip is hard to control, and I think it's because it's oh so subtle when it happens. I think it's so subtle, we don't even recognize it sometimes that we're kind of going down that road. I think someone just kind of innocently begins the conversation with this, did you hear? And you're like, what? What? Did I hear what? Before long, you're leaning in, and you're caught in a snare. It's a trap. It's a trap, just like an animal. You know when an animal runs across the forest and there's somebody had dug a hole and it looks like solid ground and all of a sudden they fall into it. Same thing with gossip. It's a snare to us. We don't even recognize sometimes that we're walking into it, but all of a sudden we're there. But we have to be careful because when we love gossip and we be entertained by gossip, we have to understand that he who gossips with you will also gossip about you. It'll happen. It'll happen sooner or later. Believe me, it's just a matter of time. It's a matter of boredom. Or it's a matter of whether or not you're in the room or not. That's when they'll talk about you. Gossip hurts. It hurts. We can recall every time someone said hurtful, gossipy things about us. We can recall it. And why is it that, though, the next time that we want to, like, take part in it, if we could just stop ourselves from leaning in, stop ourselves from falling into this trap of gossip. It destroys, it causes fights, it breaks down families, it breaks friendships. If we could just zip it and not say what we say sometimes. Proverbs 26:20 says, a fire goes out without wood and quarrels disappear when gossip stops. James 3 says that our tongues are like a fire. They can set a fire ablaze. And we know when we've seen forest fires, what happens? It's a little tiny spark or someone threw something out and before long it just continues and continues and destroys homes and destroys beautiful nature. To stop it, what happens a lot of times, you know what they do? They actually put a fire stop. They'll dig up an area so that it has to stop there and it can't go any farther. How wonderful would it be if instead, when we hear gossip, we could stop and just send a prayer up instead. And it could be our fire stop. If we, instead of talking to others, when they're talking about that person, instead of us sharing in the information and pass along, we instead would take it to God and say, if this is true, God, help them. Help them. Help them not make this decision. You know, I think if we're not being entertained so much by it, maybe people also wouldn't be so willing to want to share it with us the next time. You know, people love an animated person like, really? Oh, awesome. That really happened? Oh, tell me more, tell me more. But what happens if you're being told something really negative about somebody and you're like, wow, I should really pray about that? Christians, I'm going to tell you, we sometimes would be the most guilty of gossip. I think sometimes because, you know, we're not out there taking part in all the alcohol and sex. I think we got to have some enjoyment, right? We're like, we'll do gossip. You know, we'll do gossip and buffets. We can be wrong. We got to stop it. And I'm not saying that you just want to be like, you know, like you're the person that everybody's like, oh, I'm not going to talk to her or him because they're like no fun. You can still have fun. Just you find your escape. A when It's no longer fun, and you're actually just eating someone alive. I think we can learn a lot from childhood admonishments, right? If you haven't nothing nice to say about someone, say nothing. And don't be a tattletale. Psalm 141:3. This is something that I'm going to tell you. I need to write this throughout my house. You guys should too. I think it's so important. 141:3, set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Man, I think we could save so many relationships. We wouldn't have to apologize quite so much if we would take this to heart, if we would think about those words. I think we should get up every day and we should be praying that. Set a guard over my mouth, Lord. Keep a watch over the door of my lips. What am I saying? Like I said, when someone starts to say something negative or hurtful, change the subject. I've done that many, many times before. And it's all of a sudden somebody starts something, you're like, wow, look at that. Isn't that cool? You just change the subject. People a lot of times don't have that great of attention spans anyway. They are like that whole thing. It's like shiny. And they're like, oh, yeah, that's really cool. It's just how people are. So change the subject. I've had to change the subject so many times in family situations. You know, when I talk about the someone leaves the room, a lot of times, you know what? You want to go to every event. You want to be at every reunion, every birthday party. You know why? Because when you're not there, who are they talking about? You. It's like, I want to be there because I don't want to be the one that they're talking about. So it's like, you know that sometimes we do that. Why is it inside of us we want to pick off that weakest one of the bunch? We just want to attack them and take them down with our words. So change the subject. Turn the conversation to something else. Plan your escape. I can't tell you how many times I've walked away. All of a sudden, something's very urgent. Oh, that's right, I need this. And I'm like, I go. I just plan my escape. I think what we need to do is we need to let those little birds, when we're outside and we see these little birds flying all around us, we need to look at them and think, they're hearing your words. What if the scripture is true? How awesome would it be if you changed your words? Instead of talking negative or saying hurtful things about others or participating in gossip, instead, the little birds were taken back to the king. God, your praises of him. Your prayers to help others. What if instead that's what was being taken back to the king? I love it if every single one of you that are out there would look at little birds differently. When you see them there, let it be a reminder that our words are so important. So necessary to take control of. Our words are so powerful. They have such power. We have to answer for them. Idle words, we have to answer for them. They can either build us up or tear us down. They can either build others up or tear them down. Like I said, God says we have to account for them all. I think when we feel the urge to share information, like I said, it needs to be information that we instead share with others, we instead go vertical and share it with God. I think when we whisper, let our whispers be to God, not to each other. Instead, whisper to God something that he's like, you're thankful for. I adore God. You know why? Because I realize I am so imperfect. I am so flawed. I'm such a mess. But I have such a wonderful example to try to become. The most perfect man who ever walked the face of the earth. If I could even get a little bit better every day, how wonderful would that be? I just really want you to think about those little birds. Don't forget them. When you see them fly by, think about your words. Let me pray for you. Lord, I do thank you for this day, and I thank you for life, and I thank you for freedom, and I thank you, Father, that you give us our own free will. I just pray, Jesus, that you would help each person that's here. I pray that if it is a struggle, if they enjoy gossip a little too much, Lord, I just pray that you make it really evident, that you tap them on the shoulder when they start to say something or when they start to listen to something. I just pray, Father, that you would help us to become more and more like you every day. I pray that you would help us to be forgiven of these sins. Lord, help us to ask you for help. Help us to set that door, that gate over our lips. I pray, Father, that you would help us to be more like you every day. We're thankful for what you're going to do and how you're going to help us, Lord. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.